Time for our monthly update from the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. And Director Angie Bruce is joining me live over the phone this morning. Good morning, Director. How are you today?
I am doing great, Duke. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I appreciate your time today. And these monthly updates are great. And of course, what's happening with the Game and Fish. Your first couple of months and one of the most recognizable animals in Wyoming history is lost, Director. We wanted to chat about this, of course, Grizzly 399. I know there's been a lot of press about this, and I don't know that there's a need to really touch on the incident. I think people are mostly aware what happened, but I think the one question that really hasn't been answered yet is the fact that this bear was so far south from the Teton National Park all the way down into Lincoln County in the Snake River Canyon. What's your perception on that and the movement of this bear? Are there any concerns or red flags by that?
Well, this was a very unfortunate incident. And I think, you know, the public has really spoke about that and how much this bear meant to them. But yes, the expansion of territory of grizzly bears in Wyoming is a concern to us. Like most people know, they're doing very well in Wyoming. We currently don't manage them. The Fish and Wildlife Service manages them. But they set population objectives, and we've been over that population objective for the past 20 years. And so when you get populations that are high, they tend to expand, and they expand into less hospitable habitats. And so that's what we're seeing. We actually saw a grizzly bear the farthest south we have seen earlier this year, with just north of Kemmerer. And this can be problematic for many reasons. And I think the one that comes to the top of my mind, first and foremost, is they're in areas where the public and our ranchers are not expecting to see them. And when you get that, you get, I mean, they are dangerous wild animals. And if you have grown up on a ranch your entire life and never saw a grizzly bear, but then are confronted with one, these things make us very nervous. And then with the expansion, we also get lots of conflict. Duke, let me give you a few numbers to kind of frame it up for you. In the 1990s, we saw an average number of conflicts with grizzly bears and people at right around 80 a year. And then we moved into the early 2000s, and that jumped to about 150. And now the last 3 years, we're up to over 200, right around 222. The last 3 years is our average of conflicts. And this is extremely concerning, not only for ranchers, but just for our general public. It definitely shows they're expanding and moving and getting into other areas.
I know that grizzly bear management has been a battle for many, many years. As you mentioned, it's under the management of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the federal government. What has been their response as you've tried to work with them on, especially under recent circumstances or recent incidences where you talk about 399 and also talk about the one spotted by Kemmerer?
Yeah, so exactly. We do assist them with these with these conflict situations. Definitely, we have people on the ground and they do. And we know at the end of the day, it's super important for us to communicate. With the 399 issue, I was speaking to the Fish and Wildlife Service almost every hour, and just understanding what happened, what we could do, and how we move forward. So our communication and management approach, we definitely communicate through it. They do have the final say as the overall manager, but they do consult with us on a daily basis.
I know there's been even litigation at times. Do you see a situation playing out at some point where Wyoming would have more control, the Game and Fish would have more control over grizzly bears outside of the parks?
Absolutely, Duke. What a great question. That is our goal. We truly believe that people closest to the issue are the best to manage it, no matter what that situation is. And that's the same with grizzly bears. We have the experts. I truly believe we have the biologists who are best in the world at managing grizzly bears, and we want the opportunity to do that. And so it definitely is a priority of mine. It was a priority of past Director Nesvik's to continue to work on that in every approach that we can take to get them back under state management.
Director Angie Bruce this morning with the Wyoming Game and Fish joining us on the Weekday Wake Up. And switching from grizzlies to black bears, something that the state does have a little more control over. We saw an incident earlier this summer in Lincoln County in Star Valley, one of our communities, Star Valley Ranch. A black bear was spending a lot of time inside town limits. And of course, the town does butt right up next to the National Forest. And so, I mean, there's really not a huge surprise there. But what's your take on black bears and their territory? Is that becoming an issue as well?
Absolutely. So it's really where they change their behaviors from more of a wildlife, wild behavior to something more habituated to or people or cities that we become very concerned. And this subadult male black bear in the Star Valley area was involved in 22 conflicts. So repeated patterns. This is really where we get concerned. And, you know, a lot of people say, why don't you just take this bear and relocate it? Well, that is an option in some cases. However, this bear did not fit that because it had this high level of human food conditioning and bold behavior. It made us too nervous to continue down that path. And, you know, I think the important message, though, behind this and behind this situation is more about this particular bear, but it's more about having homeowners and citizens keep their garbage inside, out of the way, so that the bears aren't attracted. And then, you know, like all of us, we spot something good and we want to go to it over and over. And that's what this bear was doing. So if everybody could do their part, we can hopefully decrease these conflicts in the future.
Well, Director, I want to switch gears and talk about a couple of other items this morning, including the mule deer herds. And man, a couple of years ago, I'm sure you remember, we had that just horrendous winter that really took a huge toll on mule deer across the entire state. Sounds like the Game and Fish is going to be hosting a series of public meetings regarding management of these herds and the continued decline. Give us an update on how the herds are looking, what the rebound has been like, and then we can talk more about these public meetings.
Absolutely. So yes, none of us will forget that bad winter. And so how the mule deer are looking is interesting. You know, we've gotten lots of reports from our hunters out there. It's been a little bit of struggle this hunting season, first off, hot and dry. No matter what you're hunting, that's usually not an ideal condition for most of us who want to be out there. So it's been a little bit rough, but we are seeing some impressive mule deer come in still. But there's a lot less deer to see. There's less hunters out there because we offered less tags. And those hunters are telling us that they're seeing less. No surprise there. They are, however, seeing a lot of healthy deer. The deer that are brought into check stations tend to be extremely healthy. That's a great sign. Other signs that we are seeing is lots of fawns. We do not do our surveys, our aerial surveys, until November and December. So we'll have a better picture on what the future of mule deer populations look like. However, there's a lot of indicators. And one of those indicators is through our mule deer, our adult does that we have collared around the state. In the past, we saw huge survival decreases in those collared deer. This year, we're seeing up to 92% of them lasting through the winter. That's outstanding. So again, maybe a little too early to predict, but all signs are pointing to an increase coming our way.
Well, you have a number of public meetings within our area, Thane Community Center on November 18th. And then in December, we have Kemmer on the 16th, Cokeville on the 17th, Mountain View on the 19th. What are you hoping to get from these public meetings, and what are you hoping that the community comes with?
Yes, these are something new for us. You know, we usually do our season setting public meetings in February, and we're focused strictly on setting the seasons for the following year. These are different. We will talk about seasons and we'll talk about anything the public brings up. However, this is really taking a step back and really talking about the mule deer in those specific areas. We know there's lots of stressors on mule deer today in Wyoming, everywhere from renewable energy to weather patterns to CWD. But we are having, and we're really seeing that it's very conditional on where you are in the state. So we really want to hear from the public and what they think is going on, what we should do more of, where we should put focus. Really an opportunity just to talk about mule deer on more of a wide perspective and get people's input. So yes, I would encourage people from around the state. There's over 30 meetings. There's one in each specific herd area. You can find them all on our website. But we would love to see people there.
It's Director Angie Bruce, Wyoming Game and Fish. Director, as always, very much appreciate your time. Anything we missed you'd like to touch on today?
No, I would just say, you know, we have had a hot, dry fall. The temperatures are starting to turn a little bit. And I just encourage people to get out there and enjoy it. If you're like me, winter's coming and I always feel cooped up. So I try to make the most of every day we're having right now.
Absolutely. That's Director Bruce this morning on the SVI Radio Network. It's all part of the Weekday Wake Up.